Take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5, we'll read the first 11 verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were the partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. What a great gathering of your people here this morning. Father, what a wonderful thing it is to hear them sing. Father, what a wonderful thing, even more so than to hear them read the Word of God. And in just a moment, we get to hear our preacher preach from the Word of God. Now, Father, please fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our lives. May we leave differently than the way we came. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I am going to preach primarily to those of you that are saved. If you are not born again, there'll be a portion of what I say that you'll understand more specifically toward the end of the service. But to those of you that are saved, I preach to you today. Then, I preach to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. To the casual Christian, you won't want to understand what I'm about to say. I primarily preach to those who are saved who want to grow. If you're stiff-necked, full of pride, set in your ways, unmovable, you will respond as usual. Because you're so insecure, you don't want to live by faith. You will figure out where you fit into that description as the service progresses. I'll tell you a brief story, and I'll get to the scripture that we've used today. When I was working at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, the church, I was there when it celebrated its 100th anniversary, and then for many years thereafter. But when I first went on staff, I was the youngest man on staff. I was the kid on staff. My hair has not always been silver. This is not gray, it's silver. But I was the kid on the staff, and when I went on staff, there was not one single computer anywhere found on the church staff, none. Well, I am the one that corrupted the staff of the computer. I got it. The preacher said, those things scare me. They scare me. Of course, some of you that have been around a while, you too have silver hair. You think back to when those things scared you as well. I had a secretary, very efficient secretary. She used a typewriter. And some of you young people say, what is that? Well, you could find a typewriter down at the Goodwill by 8-track tapes. But she was very good with a typewriter. And, you know, using correction tape and correction fluid. And I remember saying to her, and she was my senior by about 15 years, I said, I'm going to get you a computer. She said, oh, no, Oh, no, no. I don't want one of those. I don't understand them. I won't get any work done. It's way too hard. I said, really, honestly, try it. You'll like it. I said, you got to try this. It's not going to make things worse for you. It's going to make things better for you. She said, oh, no, it would be too hard. I don't understand it. I don't want to do it. I said, well, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to get you one. We're going to put it in your office, and I want you to tinker with it, and I want you, but I want you to do it. And you know something? Finally, she took the plunge. She tried it. She liked it. And if I were to call her today and say, this is Brother Owens, would you trade me the computer on your desk for a typewriter? She'd say, you're crazy. I wouldn't give up my computer. Who'd want a typewriter? But when we went through that process, and any of you that went through that process, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Boy, we looked at that computer and we said, that's going to make it harder. It seems so complicated. That's going to be difficult. And if you made the changeover, you look back and say, I'm so glad I did. It made things easier. I feel better. And now I understand it. But there had to be that initial step of faith. I want you to understand that this morning's sermon is entitled this, Why You Don't Understand Separation. Why You Don't Understand Separation. Listen to these verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible says we are to be a peculiar people. I researched that word peculiar there, and what it really means, it is to be obvious as a born-again Christian that you are the possession of God. That's to be obvious. People are to know it's obvious that you're born again. Now, let me explain something. People can't see the inside of you.
That's right.
That means it is to be obvious to people on the outside of you that you're a born-again Christian. Because we can't read what's on the inside. There's these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. It says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and you will be I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Here the Bible says, we're to come out away from the wrong kinds of things. And you know, when you do, that's going to make it obvious that you're separating from something. It says, and don't touch the unclean thing. That means people are going to see you. Withhold from touching it. It's going to be obvious that you stand for something. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. The Bible says we're not to love the world. We're to be separate from the world. We're not to be like the world. There is to be an obvious difference between me and a lost person. There's to be an obvious difference between you, a born-again Christian, and the people out in the world. Now remember, the world can't see what's on the inside. Now, if there's to be an obvious difference, unless somehow they have x-ray vision, which they don't, that means you're to look different, act different, behave different. On the outside of you, you should be peculiar, not just on the inside of you. Our church believes in living a separated life because the Bible teaches it. Now, let me explain. You do not separate from bad to get saved. You separate from bad because you are saved. If you're here today and you're not born again and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, you can clean your life up all you want, but that won't save you. Give you a better life, but it won't save you. It will not give you a place in heaven. Because the Bible says the way to heaven is, according to Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ made salvation available to you. It's made available to you and it is free. But He had to pay for it. You don't change your life to get saved. You change your life because you are saved and because of what He's done for you. This thing is separation. Why is it that so many people struggle with it? Why is it that they don't understand it? A Christian is to get saved and then separate from the world. They're to be different, obviously different, on the outside, not just on the inside. Well, let me retell the story that we read together a moment ago. The Bible says there in the book of Luke, chapter 5, that Jesus was at the shore of Gennesaret. There were many people trying to get to Jesus Christ, and there was such a press of people, or so many people, that he had to figure out a way to kind of organize this little service that's about to take place. So he's on the shore of a lake, and all these people, what's he going to do? He had to figure out a way to kind of get up above the people and make it so they could see him. And so there were a couple of ships that were docked there at the lake. He got onto one of those ships, and he pushed it out just a little ways from the shore. That way he could stand on that ship, and the ship now became like the platform of a church. He stood there, and I'm sure now he's got a makeshift platform or pulpit so that he can speak to them. He preaches from that ship. Now, after he gets done preaching from that ship, he said, "Let's launch out into the deep." And so some of you know it's time for some of you Christians to quit playing in the wading pool and launch out into the deep. You've been playing Christianity long enough, it's time for you to become real. Really make something happen around you. But he said, "Let's launch out into the deep." And indeed they did. He said to the men, he said, "Men, let down your nets for a draught of fish." Now, that word "draught" there, it meant a big catch. Jesus said, "Men, we're on this boat, we're out here in the deep water, let down your net, because if you let down your net, you can catch all sorts of fish." Simon Peter talks to Jesus here, and this is what he says. Simon says, "Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net." So Peter says, "I'll let down the net." But Peter decided to do what Jesus said, and the Bible says he did it all alone. Peter, one man, made the decision, "I'll let down the net." Then and only then did the other men follow suit. And the Bible says, and when this was done, after they obeyed, after they did what they were supposed to do, they obeyed. If you notice there was some disagreement. Peter had said, "What? We fished all night, didn't catch anything." Nevertheless, Peter said, "I'll do what you tell me." The Bible says then and only then they enclose a great multitude of fishes and their net break in verse number 6. Peter was astonished. He couldn't believe it. All the others were astonished, the Bible says. And in verse number 11, when you get to the end of the story, it says, "And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him." Now picture it here. Jesus is on this ship. He says, "Cast your net out and you can catch a lot of fish." Peter says, "We fished all night long and we didn't catch anything." Then Peter said, "But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll obey." They cast the net out. They caught so many fish they didn't know what to do with it all. By the time they got to shore, they said, "We could trust him with anything. We're going to give up everything and just follow him to the end of the world." Now, notice the biblical process here. Jesus commands something. "Let down your nets." Peter responds with human doubt or some mental disobedience. You know, when we can't tell you doubt on the inside, sometimes we can on the outside. But Peter responds with some doubt. "Master, we've toiled all the night and taken nothing." Then Peter says, "Nevertheless, nevertheless." What does that "nevertheless" mean? Well, Peter's saying, "I don't like it, but I will let down the net. I don't see it, but I will let down the net. I don't want it, but I will let down the net. I don't understand it, but I will let down the net. I don't see why, but I will let down the net. I disagree, but I will let down the net." Jesus said, "Let down your nets." Doubt, doubt, doubt. "We toiled all night, but nevertheless, I'll do it." Peter responded by faith to the word of Jesus Christ, which is equivalent to the word of God. He said, "At thy word I will." At thy word I will. Notice, he decided by himself. He said, "At thy word I will. I will." Your word says to do it, so I'm going to obey it, even though I don't understand it. That's what Peter said. Peter said, your word, you said it, so I'll obey it, even if I don't like it. You said it, I'll obey it, even if I don't see why. You said it, I'll obey it, even if I don't want to. You said it, I'll obey it, even though I don't understand it. You said it, I'll obey it, but I don't know why. You said it, I'll obey it. And even in my heart, as the fisherman that I am, I disagree with it because I toiled all night. Nevertheless, because you said so, I will. Notice he had to obey to be able to understand. Notice he had to obey to be able to understand. Then the blessings came. This is why many of you don't understand separation from the world in your life. I believe you're saved. But many of you have not separated from the world. Why? Because you won't obey separation. And as a result of not obeying separation, you don't understand separation. This is why you don't understand separation from the world. You want to like it, then you'll do it. You want to see it, then you'll do it. You want it, then you'll do it. See, it's not palatable to you in your current Christian standing, and because you don't like it, then you're not going to do it. You want to like it, then you'll do it. You want it, then you'll do it. You want to see it, then you'll do it. You want to understand it, then you'll do it. You want to agree with it, then you'll do it. Peter said, I'm going to do it because you said to do it. But I don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't see why. You ever heard of living by faith? You got saved by faith, now you're live by faith. Folks, the only way to really understand is to do it by faith and obey by faith, and understanding will follow your faith. Listen very carefully. Number one, the Bible teaches obedience by faith in God's Word, then is followed by understanding. I said, the Bible teaches that obedience by faith in God's Word is followed by understanding. We want understanding before obedience. God said, give me obedience, I'll give you understanding. Because God's ways are not your ways, and God's thoughts are not your thoughts, and He wants you to stop and realize who He is, and you're just to obey without questioning Him. I said, number one, the Bible teaches obedience by faith in God's Word is followed by understanding. Listen to this verse. John 7:17, it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Notice that. If any man will do his will, that's first. Then it says, he shall know his doctrine, that's second. Do his will is followed by know his doctrine. It is not know his doctrine, therefore do his will. It is do his will and then get the understanding of his doctrine. Let me explain something to you. Back behind me is a pool of water. It's called a baptistry. Nobody's ever gotten baptized to get saved. The water does not save you. What you do is you get born again by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That seals up your eternity. You're on your way to heaven. Then God comes along and says, now I would like for you to follow me in believer's baptism. And you ought to immediately, the Bible says, after you get saved, follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But let me explain something to you. You ought to get baptized the minute that you get saved, but you will not understand baptism till after you've done it and weeks and months and years to come.
Right.
You are to obey first and understand later. Because God wants you to live by faith. You see, obedience is first, understanding is second. Peter said, I don't understand. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the nets. Then understanding came following obedience. You see, if you want to understand the doctrine of separation or any other part of it, you need to obey it and quit making up excuses, and then the understanding will come later. You ever heard the old saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it? How many of you ever heard that saying before? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Only one problem with that saying. There's too many words in it. See, how's that? Because it ought to be like this. God said it, that settles it. God said it, that settles it. Your belief in what God said does not settle anything. It was settled before you chose to believe it. It's settled whether you've chosen to believe it or not. And it is a choice. God said it, that settles it. It'd be good if we could throw in there, God said it, I obeyed it, then I believed it, now that settles it. But you don't even have to be factored into it. God said it, that's the end of it, and you better live up to what He said, whether you like it or not. He doesn't need your approval. He doesn't need you to agree. God's much bigger than you. He was here in the beginning, He'll be here in the end, and those two meet. He has no ending, He has no beginning. I think we ought to trust Him. Quit debating what God wants and just do it. You see, I said the Bible teaches obedience by faith, then we can get understanding. Listen to this verse. Psalm 111, verse number 10. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Listen to the verse again. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Notice, you do His commandments, and then it is followed by a good understanding. You do what He commands, and it will be followed by understanding. Doing His commandments is going to help you to understand His commandments. God's not saying here, you should only separate after you have understanding. He is saying here, you should separate by faith before you have understanding. Then He'll bless you with good understanding because of your obedience. Separate by faith. Then understand it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That's the first part of the verse. What are we told to do first? Come out from among them. What are we told to do first? Be separate. What are we told to do first? And touch not the unclean thing. Then, He said, I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He said, you separate first, then we'll have a closer relationship like a father and son ought to have. Psalm 34, verse number 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It says here, taste and blessings will follow the taste. Now get this, folks. I remember when I first came to West Virginia, someone said to me, Brother Owens, I'm going to give you a shoe fly pie. Now, to be quite honest with you, when you've never heard of shoe fly pie, it does not sound real enticing. But you know something? You got to taste it. You got to make a commitment. You got to get it in your mouth before you can taste it. Some of you are saying, well, if you could prove to me what it's going to taste like, then I'll eat it. There's no way to do that. There's no way to prove what something tastes like unless there is a commitment by faith to get it in the mouth. Then the taste buds can analyze it and you'll find out it tastes good. And what some of your problems are is that you want God to prove to you how well it's going to taste before you'll put it in your mouth, and you'll sit there at a stalemate with God for the rest of your life and you won't make a move. You've got to make the move by faith to put it in your mouth, and then you'll taste and you'll say, hey, he tastes good. He tastes good.
you'll sit there and you'll kind of square off with God and say, well, if you can prove it's going to taste good, then I'll put it in my mouth. And He says to you, shove it in your mouth by faith, taste and see that the Lord is good. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. What's it mean by faith? You put it in your mouth. Once you taste what God will do for you, it'll change your whole opinion about whatever that separation issue was that was so distasteful to you. You ever found someone that doesn't like it before they ever taste it?
I don't like that. I just don't like that.
What's it taste like?
I don't know.
And some of you stand back and look at some Christians that have separated from things in the world and you say, I don't like it. You ever tasted it?
No. I don't like that.
Prove it's going to taste good before I get it in my mouth. Well, let me show you. Those of you that live a separated life, if it tastes good, raise your hand. Well, maybe the best we can do. You see, the Bible teaches obedience before understanding. A commitment of faith to taste, then your taste buds are going to come alive. When I heard about shoe fly pie, now, you know, flies make a mess on things. I'm thinking, okay, here I am, West Virginia, shoe fly pie. You know, tattoos everywhere. I'm not sure about this. You know something? I tasted it by faith. I got a piece of that pie. I took a fork. I took a little dab of pie. I stuck it in my mouth. And by faith, I tasted and it was good. I tasted and I saw that it was good. See, obedience by faith in God's Word will be followed, not preceded by understanding. Number two, listen carefully. God knows what's best for you. Just trust Him. He wrote this book for all born-again Christians. Not just the serious Christians, all. If you got saved yesterday, that entire book was written for you. If you got saved 50 years ago, that entire book was written for you. If you're not saved, portion of this book was written to get you saved, and the rest of this book was written for you to learn how to live after you got saved. The whole book. But God knows what's best for you. It's time for us to learn to trust Him. Follow some spiritual logic here. The question is, does God know best? Listen, Psalm 19:7, speaking of God's law, it says His law is perfect. It says His law is sure. It says in verse number 8 that His law is right. It says that His law is pure. It says that His law is clean. It says that His law is true. And it says in verse number 11, by keeping them, it brings great reward. And it's talking about keeping the law of God by faith, and there is reward that will follow. Now let me ask you a question. Does God know what's best for you? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, good. We've got a good foundation here. God knows what's best for us. Number two, are you smarter than God? John 16:30 says, now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee, and by this we believe. You know what it's saying there? We know you know all things. Why would we question you? We know that you know all things. Why would we question you? So, are you smarter than God? No. No. Does God know best? Yes or no? Yes. Are you smarter than God? Yes or no? No. All right. Can God be trusted? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Why could you trust Him? Because everything He's ever done, everything He is perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. Everything. Now, you want to trust your thinking, I think I'll trust His thinking. Is everybody everything you've ever done and everything you'll ever do and everything you've ever said always been perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true? No. But everything he's ever done, every word he's ever spoke, everything about him is perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. So can God be trusted? Yes. Yes? So God knows best. We're not smarter than God. God can be trusted. Now, does God want you to separate from the world and uncleanness? Yes. It's very clear. Ezra 10:11, it says, "Now therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do this pleasure, separate yourselves from the people of this land." He said, be different. I read you the verses earlier at the beginning of the passage, or at the beginning of the sermon. 1 Peter 2:9, we're to be a peculiar people. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Yes, we're to be separate from the world. So God knows best. God's smarter than we are. God can be trusted. God wants us to separate from this world. And then God says, the Bible teaches, obey first, understand later. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Now, that all makes total sense to me. Listen, he knows best. We're not smarter than God. He knows everything. He can be trusted with everything. He wants us to separate from the world. He wants us to separate out of obedience, not understanding. Then what right do we have to delay any change in our life that he's asked for? What right? What right do we have to say, God, I'll change when I get around to it? God, I'll change when I'm good and ready. God, I'll change when I want to change. God, I'll change as soon as you give me some more facts on this thing. Now listen to me. He is trustworthy. He's never done wrong. He'll always do right by you. And what in the world right do we have to delay any change in our life that God has requested? You know better than him? Are you more trustworthy than him? I mean, are you more thorough than him? You more powerful than him? What are you waiting on? Well, I just want to understand. God said, obey, and I'll follow it by understanding. And let me tell you this. If he never gave you understanding, you ought to obey. Hey, what right do you have to expect more explanation from God? What right does a piddly little human being have to say to God, God, not enough facts for my faith to kick in? God, if you don't explain more, I'm not coming over. One verse is not enough for me, bud. That's the way some of you are. Well, I heard one time this verse about the way to land. But there's only one verse about it in the Bible. You are arrogant. You are arrogant to think that you can call God on his own word. You are his creation. We should fall down in his presence and say, anything you want. Anything you want. I won't question you. Well, I don't understand. You don't have to understand. You're supposed to obey. It's called faith. Faith. People don't like preaching about faith. Why? Because we're so insecure, we don't trust anybody. That's because we know the roots of our own deceitfulness. We don't trust anybody. And so, we're not going to step out by faith. We might get hurt. Well, you may not trust me, and you may not trust him, and you may not trust your mom, and you may not trust your dad, and you may not trust your brother, and you may not trust your sister, and everybody else that hurt you. But God is worthy of your trust. Stop using all the hurt that you've gathered from all those people that betrayed you and using it to keep you away from your God. Now, if he said it, you ought to do it. Period. Period. We are so arrogant. What an arrogant race we are to think that we can go to God and say, God, no. Well, you say, well, Brother Owens, I'm not saying no. I'm just saying not right now.
Oh, my.
I demand further explanation.
Obedience first, understanding later. That's what the Bible teaches. It's called living by faith.
Now, if I asked you to put your faith in Rusty Guin, I could see why you wouldn't. If I ask you to put your faith in Joshua Owens, God knows, that's my boy, don't do it! I watched him steal his brother's toys and whack his brother in the head with his toys. He took a golf club once and knocked his brother out.
Didn't you?
Yeah. Hey, I don't even have to mention Brother Nash, you know better!
Oh, but enters the creator of the universe, God. When you deny that book, you are denying Him. That is God. God's Word, God's thoughts, God's mind, and they're always pure and always right and always just and always true.
Why would we doubt Him for a moment? Well, I just want more explanation, God. God said you need to be quiet and obey. Then you may get some understanding.
So I say to you, first of all, He teaches obedience first, understanding second. And then secondly, God knows best for you. So just trust Him by faith. That's why you can practice obedience first, understanding second. Thirdly, have you noticed the people who understand separation are the ones who are separated? Ever notice it? Think about it. Stop from your unseparated position. Look over the fence at all the people that are doing for God what you're not. Have you noticed they all understand it and like it?
What's the difference? One thing, you won't step out by faith, and they did, and God blessed them with understanding. Separate this auditorium in half. Take all the people that are truly separated, not the ones that are, you know, want to raise their hand and make everybody think they are. We'll put a line right down here, put all the really separated people over here, and the ones that are not over here, you look over here and say, you know what, they do believe it, they back it, they're excited about it, it's wonderful, and I'm over here. Now, what is the difference? Only one thing. They understand it because they obeyed it, and the reason you don't understand it is because you've not stepped over and obeyed it.
You're missing out on some wonderful things because of your lack of faith. Any separation issue for any man in this auditorium, I'll guarantee you, there are other men in this building that practice that separation. They like it, they love it, they're happy with it. You teenagers, whatever the issue, there are other teenagers that are practicing that area of separation in obedience to God. They like it, they're excited about it, and they're very pleasant about it. What's the difference? Faith. You ladies, whatever it is, there are all sorts of people practicing it, and you won't practice it, and they understand it, and you say, I don't understand it. What is the difference?
Obedience.
I went to a teen camp, and a teenager said, come on, Brother Owens. I mean, he's cocky. He was obviously a troublemaker, written all over him. He said, come on, Brother Owens. Let's get a game at this camp that we can sink our teeth into. And this kid was ornery. Cocky, mean, just the kind of guy that wants to control everything and got this, just had this spirit about him. And he said, come on. And he virtually criticizing his youth director. Yeah, all these lame games. Give us something we can sink our teeth into. And so I said, oh, well, we're going to play a game. And so I'd gotten some Twinkies. I said, we're going to have a Twinkie eating contest. And this kid said, oh, come on. Same old, eat something. So give us something we can sink our teeth into. So let's just have this Twinkie game. I said, you know, you're not a Twinkie, are you? You're willing to, you know, have a Twinkie eating contest. He said, yeah, but, yes. You don't understand. I want something more than that. So now what he did not know is that his Twinkie, I'd taken a syringe and filled it with green food color.
Everybody else was eating their Twinkie, and he was walking around saying, oh, this is stupid. Big green smile. Man, I gave him something he could sink his teeth into. But he didn't understand it until he stepped out my face and tasted it. There's some of you, you are so hesitant. You don't have the kind of faith you think you do. Some of you, you're very impressed with your education. You're smarter than that old Bible and faith and obedience thing. And you're miserable. Living by faith is a wonderful thing. I say the Bible teaches obedience first, understanding second. I say that the Bible teaches us God knows what's best. He's pure, righteous, holy, and true all the time. So it's okay to go ahead by faith and obey without explanation. I say to you, have you noticed the people who understand separation are the ones that are separated? You know, the ones who understand separation best from immorality are the ones that are not committing it. It's always the case. Somebody's committing immorality in this congregation is the first person mad at me when I preach on immorality. And everybody that's not committing immorality when I preach on it says what, Brother Guin? Amen here, Brother Guin. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't mean to wake you up. He's thinking about that shoe fly pie. Have you ever noticed you bothered most by that which you're guilty of? See, I'm not convicted. Why does it bother you so much? The one who understands best each separation issue are the ones that have made the move of separation. When I stand up in here and throw a fit about rock and roll music, and if you're a visitor here today and you don't understand that, you don't have to be real smart. You don't even have to be saved to realize the filth in rock music. But when I stand up and I preach that, the ones that are separated from it, they say, amen, that's right. When I stand up and tell you it's the King James Bible that is the preserved Word of God, those that have made their step of faith, they back that. They say, amen. When I talk about worldly entertainments and modesty and propriety and the way we dress and act, everybody that's separated says, amen, that's right. Then you have the skeptics that have never obeyed, who therefore doubt, who have no understanding, who are confused. Look around the church at the people who understand what you don't. Say, what's the difference? They made a step of faith. Everybody started where the skeptics are. First time I heard him preach against rock and roll music, I was mad. You say why? Because I'd just come out of my car and I'd had a cassette tape of Motley Crue on my tape player. And finally, I said, you know what? I'm going to have to make this move by faith because it doesn't all make sense to me. And it is an amazing process when I got rid of it. Suddenly, the blinders were taken off and I realized, you know what? I should have done this a long time ago. Why in the world was I fighting over such a petty little thing? Some of you need to make your move by faith. Oh, and you'd be shocked of how much understanding you could get. You would be shocked. Some of you are going to find out how disobedient you have been. You're going to look back and say, oh my, that's an abomination. Didn't realize an abomination. It's very difficult to realize something's an abomination when you're in the midst of all the abomination while it's happening. I remember when it came to the issue of the tithe, giving the Lord one-tenth of the increase in the income. Separating one-tenth. He gave it all to me. I'm to take that one-tenth and I'm to give it to the church. I didn't like it. I didn't see it. I didn't want it. I didn't understand it. And I obeyed. Nevertheless, at thy word, I let down my nets and obeyed. But it wasn't long until I understood it. Didn't take hardly any time at all. Now I wouldn't go back. I would not go back. I would never change. Wouldn't do it for anything in the world. Why? Because understanding followed obedience. Hey, do you know what kind of lights Noah had on the ark? Floodlights. Hey, you can't get humor like that just anywhere. I don't know why these things come to me. It's like, that has nothing to do with the sermon. Hey, the reason you don't understand separation is because you don't have to at first, according to God. The reason you don't understand separation is because you're not supposed to at first. Now that you understand why you don't understand, you can by faith decide that you're going to understand. I said, now that you understand why you don't understand, let's see what you do with your faith. Now you need to step out and obey. Stop questioning. Stop making up excuses. I'm going to do everything I can to teach you what the Bible teaches about separation issues. But my teaching can be terribly hindered by your lack of obedience. Say, I don't understand. If I taught it to you from the Bible and you disobeyed it, why do you not understand? Is it my fault for not teaching it? According to the Bible, it's your fault for not obeying it. If you're taught the difference between right and wrong, the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He said, but I didn't understand it. But you were not supposed to understand it. You were to obey it, and then the understanding would come. I could be the best Bible teacher in the world. I could be the best preacher on the face of the earth. And the only thing that would hinder that teaching from doing its job would be you. Because you have to take the teaching and obey it by faith, and then understanding will come. Go on. Do it. Step out like Peter. Alone. Well, if my husband, well, if my wife, well, if my friends. I don't think Peter was on that ship saying, well, these guys would, I would. Very difficult for me because more than one time in my life I stepped out alone, by faith, without understanding, based on the Word of God. He always came alongside me and said, son, you're not alone. You've done the right thing. Here comes a blessing. I'm going to fill your ship to the point that you can't even handle all the blessing. It's called living by faith. And we're to live daily by faith. Everything that we do. And others will follow. Hey, in what area have you been taught the Bible, have heard it preached on issues of separating from the world? You didn't understand. So you said, well, because I don't understand it, I can push it aside and forget about it. If you really want to understand, obey first. Go on. Do it for God. What have you heard preached from the pulpit and you're disobeying it right now? Hey, wonder if your child said, I'll obey after you can explain it to my satisfaction. Joshua, did that work at our house, sir? Nah. There's some of you, you believe you're more true than God. Because your child, if your child said, well, as soon as I feel bad about it, I'll change. And you expect your child to obey you based on your word, but there are things in your life right now that God wants you to do and you won't do it because you don't trust His word. You think you're God. Because if your child should just obey you without question, why shouldn't you do that with God? And if your child said, well, as soon as I feel bad about it, as soon as you give me some more facts, as soon as you can show me more than one verse, I'll obey. You'd swat their rear end, and there are some of you will be spanked by God for your disobedience if you don't knock it off and quit denying the Holy God of the universe every part in your life that He deserves and that He wants. Say, what are you talking about, Brother Owens? What's he talking to you about? I'm preaching a sermon on faith. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? What's the Holy Spirit penetrating your heart with? Boy, I remember one time asking my dad for more explanation. When he got done with the definition, I thought, Dad, enough said. Hey, are you lost and on your way to hell, unsaved? You know what? If I were you, I'd put my faith in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, how did you get saved? When salvation was presented to you, did you say, I have got to understand the vicarious suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? If I do not understand those 3 days that He was in the grave and the total resurrection and the concept thereof, I've got to understand the theology behind the death, the burial, and the resurrection. If I don't understand that, I do not think that I will submit myself and put my faith in it. That is not what you did. Somebody told you Jesus died for you, was buried for you, resurrected for you, and if you didn't get saved, you're going to split hell wide open. And you said, that sounds good enough to me. I'll put my faith in it. And any of you that really got saved ever since then, you've been looking back and saying, whoa, I'm glad I trusted Him. I understand it more and more and more and more and more as time passes. And then the lost, who doesn't, they don't want to trust, they say, so what's the big deal about getting saved? Just climb in, water's frying, and suddenly you learn to row the boat. But you're so smart. You should question God. You've been in church for 40 years. Can't tell by your life. We know it all. There he was on that ship. Jesus said, Peter, cast your net. Let it out. Peter did the same thing that us humans like to do. What? I've been fishing all night and didn't catch anything. You know what he was saying? I can handle this. I don't need your help. But then Peter thought, nevertheless, at thy word, right there is the definition of the word conviction. Whatever God's word says, you're to be convicted about it. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He did. Caught fish. By the time they got to shore, Peter and everybody on the boat said, whoa. But I tell you what, from this point on, no doubting, no questioning. Whatever you say, I'm in. I'm in. Tell everything you have and follow me. Fine. Fine. Stand up and preach about a heaven that you've never seen. Fine. Fine. If they're going to kill me, I'm going to rise from the grave. Fine. We believe it. That's good. Fine. We'll preach it. Where did it all start? The day that Peter said, I'm not going to challenge you. I'm going to obey you. I'm not going to analyze you. You'll become a good analyzer of the Word of God when you start obeying it. Because you're to live by faith, and that which is not of faith is sin. That's why some of you are living in sin by not obeying issues of separation that God makes clear. It is sin to you because you won't obey it by faith. And again, let me say to you, what has occurred to you during the preaching? I mentioned two or three things by way of illustration. My purpose was not the topics within the item of separation. It is the concept of why we don't understand separation. Because of lack of faith and lack of obedience. If you're not saved, get saved by faith. Well, I'll wait till I understand better. Well, if you die tomorrow, you will get an understanding like you never thought. You'll go to hell and you'll understand better than everybody on earth. It is an act of faith. You never follow the Lord in believer's baptism after your salvation. You got to get baptized. Why? That's what the Bible says. Can't you explain it? I do my dead level best, run as fast as I can, study as hard as I can to explain things to you. But do you expect me to explain God to the point of some of your disobedience, I can't do that. I can't explain beyond your lack of desire. I can explain it, I can preach it, now you obey it. That's all we can do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.